The psalmist asked the question, who is this King of Glory? Many times in police work, when a crime has been committed and there are witnesses to that crime, they will get an artist and they will take those who have witnessed the crime and the criminal, and they will have them look at pages full of noses. And a person will finally say, well, yes, a nose sort of like that. And then they'll look at all kinds of eye shapes and say, well, his eyes are like that. And then they'll look at hairstyles and, well, his hair is sort of like that. And a high cheekbones or the various, and the chin and the shape of the mouth and all. And a person can go through and pick out the aspects of the ears, eyes, and so forth. And the artist then can then draw a composite drawing. That is, putting the pieces together, he can get a pretty good facsimile as to what the person actually looks like. It's always interesting to me when the criminal is finally apprehended and you see the artist rendition from the composites with the actual way the person looks, and it's amazing the degree of accuracy they can get by the composite picture, by putting the pieces together. We have a mystery. The King of Glory, his identity. And the psalmist asked, who is this King of Glory? This morning we'd like to put a composite picture together to see if we can discover who is this King of Glory. First of all, we know that he will be a descendant of David, and he shall reign forever. One day, David, sitting in his palace and all of the luxuries of the palace, thought about the place of God's dwelling. The Ark of the Covenant was always the symbol of God's presence with his people, and it was in the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle or the tent. And there in Jerusalem, David had placed the tabernacle and within it the Holy of Holies. But he thought, you know, there's something wrong here. Here I have this luxurious palace and God dwells in a tent. I need to build a beautiful house for God. A place where we might put the Ark of the Covenant. A magnificent palace that will far exceed even my own. And so David called his spiritual counselor, his confidant and friend, Nathan, to him. And he said, Nathan, you know, I've been thinking, it isn't right that God lives in a tent and I live in this beautiful palace. And I've decided to devote my fortune, everything I have, I'm going to build God a magnificent temple. It's got to be more magnificent than any building on the earth because it's for God, a place for him to dwell. And Nathan, his friend, said, oh, David, splendid idea. Go for it. Nathan couldn't sleep that night. God kept him awake. He was tossing to and fro. And the Lord spoke to Nathan and said, Nathan, you really blew it today. You encouraged David to build a house for me. Don't you realize that David's hands are bloody with war? A man with bloody hands could not build a house for me, a house of peace. Therefore, you're going to have to go back tomorrow, and you're going to have to tell David that I just can't let him build a house for me. It's inconsistent. Him being a man of war, bloody hands, to build a house for me. But I'll tell you what, to cushion the blow, tell David I'll build him a house. From his descendants, I will raise one up who will sit upon the throne forever. Nathan came back and said, David, man, I'm sorry, but I got some bad news for you. God spoke to me last night and said he can't have you building him a house. And David said, oh, you know, and he said, but wait a minute. God said he's going to build you a house, David. From your descendants, he's going to raise up one to sit upon the throne forever. David was wiped out by this. He went in before the Lord and he said, Lord, this is unreal. Who've ever heard of anything like this? That you should promise that through me the Messiah would come. Lord, I'm nobody. I was just a shepherd. I was just a kid out there following sheep. You called me to rule over your people. If that weren't enough, now you tell me that from my descendants, you're going to raise one to sit on the throne forever. Oh, Lord, I'm speechless. What can I say? So we know that this King of Glory will be a descendant of David. Isaiah tells us, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David to order it and to establish it in judgment and in justice from henceforth, even forever. A descendant of David who will sit upon the throne forever. As Luke gives to us the genealogy of Mary in chapter 3, he points out to us that Mary was a direct descendant of David. Speaking of Mary, putting the picture together, we know that the King of Glory will be born of a virgin. Way back in the beginning of man, in the Garden of Eden, where Eve ate of that fruit that God had forbidden and gave to Adam, and he did also eat, God said to Adam, Adam, what have you done? And Adam said, the woman that you gave me to be my wife tempted me, and I did eat. God said to the woman, to Eve, what have you done? And she said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And so God said unto the serpent, unto Satan, that he would put enmity between his seed and the woman's seed, and that the woman's seed would bruise his head, and Satan would bruise his heel. The interesting thing about this prophecy is that a woman does not have a seed. The woman has the egg, the ovum, that is fertilized by the male seed. Thus, you have a hint, an indication, that the King of glory, born of a woman's seed, would of necessity be born of a virgin. You say, oh, come on, that's pretty far. You're stretching. Well, perhaps. So God made it even more clear and more plain. For Isaiah the prophet in chapter 7, verse 14 said, I shall give to you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, which by interpretation is God with us. That's not very vague. That's pretty plain. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Now, when the angel announced to Mary that she was highly favored by God, inasmuch as God had chosen her to be the human instrument to bring his son, the King of glory, into the earth. The angel, in talking to her about that son, said unto her that he would be great, that he would be called the Son of the Highest, and that the Lord God would give unto him the throne of his father David, and he would reign over the house of David forever. The picture's beginning to come together. Mary said, how can this be? I'm a virgin. I've never known a man intimately. And the angel explained how the Holy Spirit would come upon her, overshadow her, so that that Holy One that would be born of her would be called the Son of God. Unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder, upon the throne of David, to order it and to establish it. The picture is coming together. Who is this King of glory? This descendant of David, born of a virgin, that shall reign over the throne of David forever. We know that he will be born in the little village of Bethlehem. Because Micah the prophet said, and thou Bethlehem, Ephrata, though you are little among all of the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come he who is to rule my people, who has existed forever. So we know that this King of glory, who has existed forever, will be born of a virgin in the little village of Bethlehem. Luke tells us, now it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every man to his own city. And Joseph also, with Mary, went up from Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house of the house and the lineage of David. And it came to pass that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should bring forth her child. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And as the angels announced to the shepherds the birth of this child, they said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign. You will find the babe. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts as they were praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And as the angels departed, The shepherds said one unto another, let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord our God has made known unto us. Born of a virgin, born of the seed of David, born in Bethlehem, born to be king, that he might rule over the house of David forever. Who is this king of glory? We know that he will be coming in the year 32 AD. For the angel told Daniel the prophet that there were 77s that were determined upon the nation of Israel to finish the transgression, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to make an end of sins, to complete the prophecies, to establish the eternal kingdom. And from the time that the commandment will go forth to restore and rebuild Jerusalem to the coming of the Messiah, the Prince, will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens, or 483 years. Now we know from the Bible that King Artaxerxes gave the commandment to Nehemiah to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem. We know from secular history that Artaxerxes gave that command to Nehemiah on the 14th of March in the year 445 BC. According to the promise, according to this part of the picture, 483 years after March 14, 445 BC, the Messiah, the Prince, the King of Glory, shall appear. Difficulty arises at this point because Daniel was making his predictions according to the Babylonian calendar, which is a 360-day year calendar. We operate with the Gregorian calendar, which is a 365 and a quarter day year calendar. The easiest way to solve the discrepancies between the two calendars is to transfer it into days. 483 years on a 360-day year calendar would be 173,880 days. Taking the year 445 BC, March the 14th in the Gregorian calendar, adding to that the 173,880 days brings you in our Gregorian calendar to April 6, 32 AD. Luke tells us that on April 6, 32 AD, which happened to be the Sunday before the Passover that year, for the Passover in the year 32 was April 10th, that Sunday before the Passover, Jesus said to his disciples, to two of his disciples, go over into the little village. There you'll find a donkey that is tied. Untie him and bring him to me. And if anyone should ask you why you're untying the donkey, just tell them the Lord has need of him. And we are told how the two disciples went into the village, and there where Jesus told them, they found the donkey that was tied. And as they were untying him, the owner said, hey, what are you doing untying my donkey? And they answered, the Lord has need of him. And they brought the donkey to Jesus, and he sat upon it. And they began to lay their garments in the path, and they began to wave palm branches as they cried, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the King who comes in the name of the Lord. We remember how the Pharisee said, Lord, do you hear what they're saying? Don't you realize that's blasphemy? They're saying you're the King of Glory. And Jesus said, let me tell you something, fellas. Get it straight. If these people at this moment would hold their peace, these very stones would start crying out. Who is the King of Glory? He will come to Jerusalem, to the gates of the temple, April 6, 32 AD. Not only that, he'll be riding on a donkey. Because Zechariah tells us, rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, for behold, thy king is coming unto you. He is just, having salvation. He is lowly. He's riding on a donkey. Who is the King of Glory? The descendant of David, born of a virgin, coming April the 6th, 32 AD, on a donkey. The King of Glory, as we put the picture together, could not possibly be anyone but Jesus Christ. He is the King of Glory. Palm Sunday, the day in which he presented himself to the nation as the King, was decision day for the nation of Israel. The day when they decide whether or not to acclaim him as the King of Glory and to enter into the glories of the kingdom of God, or to reject him as the King of Glory. Prophetically, we know that he would be rejected. Because Isaiah said, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. He would be wounded for our transgressions. He would be bruised for our iniquities. And he will be numbered with the transgressors in his death. So Isaiah tells us that the King of Glory will be despised, rejected, and put to death between transgressors or thieves. Psalm 22 tells us that the manner of death will be crucifixion, as did Isaiah in chapter 52, lifted up above the earth. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me, as he signified the manner of death by which he was to die, he was to be crucified. Daniel, when he told the day that the Messiah would come, went on to say, but the Messiah will be cut off and receive nothing for himself. That is, he would not enter immediately into the reign as king over the earth. The King of Glory, despised and rejected by men because they said, we will not have this man to rule over us. They were ruled by their own lust, by their own passions, and they would not submit unto his reign, because it meant the setting aside of their own wishes, their own passions. And thus, he was despised and rejected. And before the week was over, he was placed upon the cross. And there he died between the transgressors. Who is the King of Glory? None other than Jesus Christ. Luke's gospel tells us that on that day when he came into Jerusalem, the day that all of Christianity is celebrating today, today Palm Sunday, that when Jesus entered into the city, as he went back to the Mount of Olives and looked over the city of Jerusalem, he began to weep as he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and all that God has sent to you, how often would I have gathered you together as a hen doth gather her chicks, but you would not. If you only knew," he said, "the things that belong to your peace in this your day," the day of the king, the day of glory, the day when they could be exalted and elevated to the position of the glorious kingdom of God on the earth. "If you only knew the things that belong to your peace, but they are hid from your eyes. And now, as the result of your rejection," he wept. He said, "Your city is going to be surrounded by the enemy's armies. They're going to set siege against your city. They're going to dash your little children in the streets." And as he saw that magnificent temple of Herod, he said, "And not one stone is going to be left standing upon another, because you did not know the day of your visitation." Palm Sunday was the day that God had determined that the nation Israel should acknowledge and receive the King of Glory, that they should open the gates that the King of Glory might enter in. But tragically, they closed the gates to him to their own destruction and calamity. We've come to another Palm Sunday, and for many of you, it's decision day to day. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we'll have close, intimate fellowship together." He's knocking at your gate today. Open the gate and the King of Glory will enter in. Who is the King of Glory? Jesus Christ the Lord. And if you'll just open your heart and life to him today, he'll come into your life and he'll transform you. You can experience the peace of God that passes human understanding. Turmoil of a life of sin can be ended. The power of sin can be broken. That destructive force of sin that is destroying you will be destroyed by the King of Glory if you will but open the gates and allow him to come in. But I wonder this morning, as Jesus looks at you, if maybe he isn't weeping even as he wept over Jerusalem at your missed opportunity to know the peace of God because you didn't open the door to him. It's decision day. They had to decide whether or not to accept the King of Glory or reject the King of Glory. Tragically, they rejected. I pray that history won't be repeated as the King of Glory stands today at the gate of your life. I pray that you'll open the gates, that the King of Glory might enter in and you can experience the peace of having him reign in your life. Shall we pray? Father, as we stand here some 19 plus centuries later, looking back over the history, seeing from our vantage so clearly who is this King of Glory, Lord, we realize that there is no excuse for us if we neglect this great salvation. There's no excuse for us rejecting Jesus Christ as King. Lord, may we open the gates of our hearts to you, that you might enter in and transform our lives by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Palm Sunday, probably one of the most important dates in the history of the nation of Israel. The day of the national rejection of the King of Glory. And even as he said, within 40 years, the Roman troops had come. They besieged the city. Josephus gives us the tragic details of the horrors of the siege and of the destruction of Jerusalem, the leveling of the temple, the women and children ravished, dashed in the streets because they rejected the King of Glory. The book of Hebrews tells us that if those who despised Moses' law were put to death because of two or three witnesses against them, of how much worse punishment do you suppose the person will be accounted worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, who has counted the blood of his covenant, the blood that he shed for our sins, as an unholy thing, who has done despite to the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. For it is a fearful thing, we are warned, to fall in the hands of a living God." I pray that on this day, this decision day, as the King of Glory knocks at the door of your heart, that you'll open up to receive, that you'll kiss his scepter, that you'll bow your knee before him and acknowledge him as the King, the Lord of your life, that you'll crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne, and you'll allow him to take over and to rule over your life. Oh, if you only knew the things that God has in store for you, the blessings, the peace, by surrendering to the King of Glory, Jesus Christ. I'd encourage you to go back to the prayer room and there bow your knee and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Receive the King of Glory into your life today. You'll never be the same. God bless you. This very special week, as we look at these important days in history, the history of man. As Friday we look at the cross, as Sunday we look at the resurrection, may the Spirit of God just minister to you in a very powerful way. May you receive the benefits of the death of Jesus Christ, and may you experience the power of his resurrection. And may God help us all to be witnesses unto the world of this good news. that death could not keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, he is risen, the King of glory. And we are told in Revelation, he's coming again. And there shall be written upon his thigh, King of kings and Lord of lords. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May you experience the joy of having him rule over your life.